Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth. Happy birthday to me. All sorts of good things have happened this week. So glad y'all are here. If you're joining us on television or computer or whatever device, thank you for joining us. And we are very blessed to be here today. Steve and Chelsea have taken some of our kids to camp today. And so be in prayer for them. And if you want to contact or encourage them, I think the address is in your order of worship today. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God your Father in heaven. Let's begin with a reading of Psalm 119, 1-8. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please do not give up on me. Psalm 119.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years he will restore, and your has done in me. Hosanna! Jesus died and rose again. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heaven's mercy stream of the Savior's love for me. Jesus died and rose again. I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Jesus died and rose again. Oops.
Good morning. Will you please join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, grant us, your creatures, discerning hearts and minds, so that we recognize truthfulness, holiness, and welcome it. And grant us eyes to see what is evil, so we shun it and turn away from it. Help us understand, Lord, that we should abhor the shedding of innocent blood, the needless destruction of life, and the evil that influence has over our lives, just as you do. So, Father, when our humanity and the sin of stain and evil gets the best of us, help us dispel anger. Help us put away lust. Help us put away deceitfulness. Because your Holy Spirit dwells within us, God with us. And from this Holy Spirit may goodness flow out from us and show the love of God to those we meet along the way. In your Son's holy and precious name, the Redeemer, our Christ. Amen.
Take my life and to thee. grace and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Love divine, all of excelling joy, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe thy loving spirit into every trouble. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find the promised rest. Take away the love of sinning. Take our load of guilt away. In the work of thy suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure unspotted may we be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in
the reading today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 37, and there will be four readers. After the last of the four of us read, we will enter a time of silence. after hearing, asking the Word of God to move within us. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the pit of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny.
You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell.
It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one.
These readings are the first four. You've heard it said, but I say, that Jesus goes into in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Let me say to begin with, they sound impossible. And that's okay. Thanks be to God for his grace that covers things we can't do. But let's try to see what Jesus is saying with these passages. If you've ever, well, if you've been in school, you've probably heard somebody say, "Teacher, what do I have to do to pass this class?" I'm sorry, roots. We have roots. The slide wasn't there. This roots. Miss Brandy's back there, and if you're one of our young ones, go join her. So you ask, what do I have to do to pass this class? Now, that tells you several things. Number one, the class is required. And number two, you don't want to take it, and you don't want to spend a lot of time in it. You're not interested in the subject. You want to pass so you can graduate. So, teacher, what does it take? What is the bare minimum I can do to get through this class? And if you're the teacher of that class, you hate to hear that. Because all you're going to get out of that student, unless you can somehow inspire them, is the bare minimum. I think what had happened in Israel was the scribes and the Pharisees had taken the law, originally the Ten Commandments, condensed it down to a checklist of do's and don'ts, and people were trying to get the do's and don'ts, but it had no effect on who they were, on their character, on their heart. If you look at the Babylonian Talmud of the 3rd century, there were 613 laws that the rabbis found in the Old Testament. 365 don'ts. There was a don't for every day. And then there were only 248 do's. And you could make up a checklist of do's and don'ts and, and there you go. When I was younger, the question was, what must I do to be saved? Any of you ever heard that? And our answer was, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. All things that we do. And how many people did we get in the water, but we never taught them to swim? We never got them past that point. I much prefer Barton Stone's 6-finger exercise. Barton Stone said, faith, repentance, and baptism, remission of sins, gift of the Holy Spirit, eternal life. 3 things that we do, and 3 things that God does. And the gift of the Holy Spirit works in us to recreate us into the image of Christ. When I was young, Sunday morning, we drove out of our driveway. Many of our neighbors drove out of their driveway. We fussed at them because they were going to other churches, but going to church was very popular. Churches were full. My church is bigger than your church, And it was part of the culture. It was part of society. We had blue laws. Everything was closed on Sunday, except the restaurants, much to my mother's delight. You couldn't go to the mall. You couldn't do a lot of the stuff that's common today. Sunday was a sacred day. Wednesday night was a sacred night. Things have changed. But back then, the minimum requirement to be a Christian was, I go to church. Most of the time, when it's convenient. Are you saved? I've been baptized. As if those were synonymous. We can take things and make them into minimum requirements. We can take them and create them into checklists. And I think that's part of what's going on here when Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, who were looked upon as being the holy, holy ones. Later, Matthew tells a different story, but it's the same story. And Larry can tell you all about this literary structure of Matthew. But it comes in Matthew 19. Someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness." Same four we're talking about today. "And honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "Yay, I've done it all. I got my checklist, and every one of those I have satisfied." Jesus says, "Good. Now, let's go deeper. If you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then follow me." That wasn't on his list. He went away unhappy, grieving, because he was rich. He had a lot of possessions. Jesus says, go deeper. It's not about the superficial. It's not about the checklist. It's not about the minimum requirements. Go deeper. Get into the heart. I haven't been at the Vaughan House in a normal time, but I imagine they say, "Don't go outside without mommy or daddy." Why? Because the little ones aren't mature enough yet to understand the dangers that are out there. In 10 years, that won't be a rule at their house anymore. In 20 years, they'll just say, "Drive safe, come back and see us." The rules change because the person changes, the maturity changes, the reasoning changes. They don't need those little commandments anymore. Murder. Oh my. I hate to turn on the news because the first thing on the local news is last night's murders. Kids go to a graduation celebration. They go to a wedding reception. And somebody starts arguing with somebody else. They also may be a little tipsy. And they pull out a gun. Why do you take a gun to these parties? And they kill somebody. Jesus says, be angry. Things are going to get messy in life, and you're going to get angry, but learn how to cope. Be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't go to bed tonight and lay in bed planning how you're going to get revenge, how you're going to straighten this out. Let it roll over you. Yeah, there's things that don't go as we plan. There are things that people do to us that are hurtful, sometimes very intentional. But there are coping mechanisms for anger. Don't brood over it. Paul told the Colossians to get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. In Ephesians, he adds bitterness to that list. Now, this is not to add more things to our checklist. We took the original 10 and we've now added bitterness. No. It's who you are. It's what's inside you. Murder is wrong. Murder is wrong. But those people need a heart transplant. They need to recognize that everybody's a child of God, even the ones we don't like. No one is without dignity and worth. We all need the grace of God. And just because I have not killed anybody does not make me any better than some other people. It's the heart. How do I see you? How do I treat you? Jesus came to reconcile the world to himself. He came to call us to be peacemakers. The greatest command is to love God, and the second to love each other. That doesn't fit a checklist. It fits who we are. Adultery. Sexual purity is not taught anymore. As a child, I heard people saying you shouldn't kiss on the first date. Now they're debating, should you go to bed on the first date? You can't produce a real good movie, it seems like, unless you have the obligatory sex scene. And TV is becoming more graphic, especially the cables, which I don't have. Is television and is the media mimicking the world? Or is world mimicking media? Or both? God created male and female with the desire that they should marry and become one and populate the world. The design was for a mother and a father to raise and educate a child to serve the Lord and to protect and develop the earth. God created male and female in his image, and then he gave us the most sacred responsibility, certainly not to be taken flippantly, the ability to produce other creatures in the image of God. To move sex from that kind of commitment to a recreational sport is to forget the sacredness of life and the God who created us. But when you look at this specific thing in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is referring to adultery as theft. You're stealing someone else's spouse. And he directs it to men. He or she is already taken, is off the market. Don't even look at another person with longing, because that lustful longing may lead to action, and it disrespects all the parties involved. At the same time, remember the significance of adultery in biblical theology. Israel was often unfaithful to God. She is often portrayed as an adulteress. She sometimes worshiped other gods. She sought fertility and rain by enlisting idols and foreign deities. God wants an unwavering commitment from his people. He blesses his bride as she is faithful to him. Adultery is what caused Israel to fall, and it's a major theme throughout Scripture. As to the plucking out of eyes or the cutting off of limbs, this shows the extreme difficulty with which it is to manage sexual urges. Going blind or cutting off limbs will not make lust go away. Blind people, lust. Quadriplegics, lust. The root of the problem is relationships, the respecting or disrespecting of one another, the development of a carnal mind instead of the mind of Christ. Divorce. And I realize that I'm speaking to a congregation that contains divorced folks and remarried divorced folks. Let's recognize that we are all living in a fallen world. Things are not what God designed them to be at the beginning. Sin has touched every part of this world. Divorce is common. God went on record in the Old Testament saying, I hate divorce. It's not his original plan, but it's the way life is today. Statistics vary, but they generally indicate that between 40 and 50% of all marriages will end in divorce. Of course, there's a lot of folks living together who haven't been married in the first place, so there's no divorce when they break up. Many other marriages endure when a hostile environment and individuals are living in a life-threatening or damaging mental health situation. What I'm saying is that marriage is not always the panacea that we'd want it to be, and divorce may, in fact, be life-saving to some. So what do we do with the words of Jesus? One part of me, a small part of me, wants to emphasize that commitment in a loving relationship produces great spiritual growth. Marriage is for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for health and sickness. I don't know why that one got reversed. Very few young couples lusting after each other can imagine anything but better, richer, and healthier. But it doesn't work that way, does it? When I see a couple working together through the worse, through the poor, through the sickness, I see a couple growing into one, the way God wanted it to be. When I watch them raising a child, possibly a special needs child, and struggling with a culture that restricts them, I see the glory of God. God forgave and welcomed back an adulterous Israel repeatedly. And I have seen marriages remade in the image of God after an affair. Some may simply put up with an unfaithful spouse as God has put up with us in our unfaithfulness. A healthy marriage does not depend on outside influences. It depends on the inner being empowered by the Spirit of God. You can't put that on a checklist. And being true to your word, the text uses the word swear. He's not speaking of profane language. He's speaking of giving oaths to clarify truth. What I say to you may not be truth, but if I say I swear on my mother's grave, then you know it's got to be truth. Court testimony begins with swearing in a witness. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And everybody says yes. Nobody says no. And yet perjury takes place every day by people who withhold or mislead. To break that oath is perjury. Evidently, people think that if they swear by their mother's grave or swear in the name of God or something, it will emphasize the truthfulness of their words. What that does for me is that makes me question everything else they say. The short of it for Jesus is tell the truth. Always, all your speech, just tell the truth. No need to embellish it. No need to tell partial truths. No need to exaggerate. Just be truthful. If you say something, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't say it to get somebody off your back. Be honest. Be truthful. Have integrity. This is where politics and the internet, I think, has rubbed over into our society in very unhealthy ways. I've received a lot of emails through the years from people who say, very important, And the last line will say, sin to everybody you know. And that immediately tells me, trash it. Sometimes they'll send this about something that's going on, and I'll go over to Snopes and look it up, fact-finding, truth-finding, and it'll say, oh, this thing in this wording originated 5 years ago in such and such a place, and it's not true. And I'll send that link to the person who sent it to me. Do they ever say, thank you for correcting me? No. Do they ever send out a follow-up email that says, I was wrong? No. The internet is full of that sort of stuff. Don't take it as truth. And some politicians. Anybody heard of George Santos? He fabricated his high school and college education. He holds a GED, by the way. His work on Wall Street, his information about founding a dog and cat rescue group, that his grandmother was a Holocaust victim, that his mother worked at the World Trade Center on 9/11, and much, much more. And all of that got him elected to Congress. Lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. And when you start that, the only way to get out of it is just to lie more till somebody nails you down. We must not allow the values we see every day to pollute who we are. Just because our politicians can lie with impunity, just because we hear it all the time, just because we read it on the internet, it must not be who we are. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Four areas of behavior: murder, adultery, divorce, lying. They all start in the heart. They all start with who you are. We can check those four off on a list, but that doesn't change us. It doesn't mean we've earned our way into the kingdom, as the young ruler wanted. It doesn't mean we're superior to everybody. It simply means we're trying to allow the Holy Spirit to recreate us in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied with the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He came to fulfill the law, to embody the law. And in a sense, when we're following him, the law doesn't matter, because we have put all of that in our heart to where we are acting as Jesus acted.
Can we get the slide back up?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and
trust and obey.
At this time, we'll be sharing communion together, and this is our practice. After I pray, I ask for your help in serving the meal this morning. May we pray. O God, you are our God, creator, sustainer, and judge of this universe. Father, we worship you as the one who has the authority and is worthy to be worshiped and obeyed. Father, I ask your presence now as we have gathered today on this Father's Day. And as many of us will do in a little while, we will go out and share meals with our families. But Father, this is a meal that you have called us to this morning. You have provided and you have given it purpose and relevance. Father, may you inspire us to accept the challenge of living life like Jesus did, to the point that he voluntarily gave it totally to you, and that you did not leave him in a grave, but raised him. Father, we remember our example and our Savior Jesus this morning in this meal that you've given meaning to, and he explained. Father, I ask your blessings on this bread as it represents the body that he gave on the cross. Father, I ask your blessings upon the juice as we share it together, representing his blood that he shed. Father, may you bless it with the same blessing that Jesus requested in the first time that followers gathered around the table. Father, may this table grow on us. May we understand the way that it shapes our family. It calls us together on a weekly basis. And Father, we pray that you continue to fill us with your Spirit. Provide for us as you will. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will go around the auditorium here collecting an offering. If you're online, we say that you can mail it in, you can bring it into the office during the week, or you can do it online. I think there's a place on our website that allows you to do that. Let's pray. Dear God, you have provided for us. Father, this congregation is extremely blessed. And Father, I'm grateful to witness the regular demonstration of the heart, the giving heart that you've placed within this church. Father, may the funds be made available to do your work here. Father, may you continue to provide all needs for our members, be they physical or spiritual. Father, for those who are struggling with life right now, we pray for them and your presence in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a slide about Reach to Teach, and I guess I'm supposed to be saying something about that. I don't have the information, so King, give me some hints. Oh, great. Larry and I got very confused.
Sorry, I might have missed my cue. I was, having fun at the Roots table. Okay, we're going to have Family Matters now. We've got a few pictures here that are from the Reach to Teach end of year party. And it looks like they had a lot of fun, they had a good turnout, and we just want to thank the all the volunteers that have made that happen all year long, who have heard Jesus' call to let the little children come. Look at that pizza, that's amazing. So thank you all for those of you that have served in Reach to Teach. And this is our group of campers that left earlier this morning, headed to Learning to Lead at ACU. Steve and Chelsea rented a van and are driving them up there. The address is in the bulletin. If you want to send a letter, tomorrow is really the last day you could mail it and hope that it gets there in time. But you don't have to mail something, you could just pray. They would love to have prayers for safety and an enriching time for those kiddos. Wednesday night prayer meeting continues on Wednesday nights out here in the lobby at 7 p.m. And we would love for you to stay and attend a Bible class right after this. The classes are listed up there on the slides. You're welcome to any of them.
Let me also mention one of my wife's ministries has been providing snack food on Wednesday nights for Reach to Teach. Sometimes it's fruit or brownies or you name it, something for the kids to munch on. She's taking July off. So if you would like to do that, let Steve know or let Joe know. You can bring it up anytime Wednesday and leave it there, put it in the fridge. Even bring it up Tuesday night and put it in the fridge so that they have it. You can tell I haven't done this much lately. Well, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So let me encourage you to follow Jesus. Let his heart be your heart. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you that power and wisdom. Amen. Enjoy your week.